So we're going to be looking at Philippians chapter 2, verses 19 through 30. I'd like to read that, and then we'll pray. But I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly, so that I also may be encouraged when I learn of your condition. For I also have no one else of kindred spirit who is generally concerned for your welfare. For they all seek after their own interest and not those of Jesus Christ. But you know of his proven worth, that he served with me in the furtherance of the gospel like a child serving his father. Therefore, I hope to send him immediately to you as soon as I see how things go with me. And I trust in the Lord that I myself will be able to come to you shortly. But I thought it necessary to send you Epaphroditus, my brother and fellow worker and soldier, who is also your messenger and minister to my need. Because while he was longing for you all, and you were all distressed because you heard that he was sick. For indeed he was sick, even to the point of death. But God had mercy on him, and not only him, but also on me, so I would not have sorrow upon sorrow. Therefore I have sent him all the more eagerly, so that when you see him again you may rejoice, and I may be less concerned about you. Receive him then in the Lord with all joy, and hold men like him in high regard, because he came close to death for the work of Christ, risking his life to complete what was deficient in your service to me. Father God, we just ask you now, as we look to your word, we ask you that you would just allow the Holy Spirit to work. Father, take this message and just work it into the things that you have for us this morning. And we thank you, Lord God, what you will do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. What do you think about when you hear the word happiness? What makes you happy? Is it unwrapping gifts on Christmas morning? Maybe it's strolling along the beach or the boardwalk. Maybe you like to take a ride down to the lighthouse and just see the waves crash in down in Barnegat Light. Maybe being surprised on your birthday with a special gift, or just getting that cake and ice cream. Or in my mom's case, she loves her brownies and her ice cream with walnuts. They're not brownies if they don't have walnuts, I'm sorry. Maybe you like to go out to a dinner or a movie. Maybe vacation brings a smile to our faces. Some of us love surfing. John does. John loves surfing and the beach. Maybe reading a good book. Do we still read books today?
Amen.
Maybe sitting outside on your deck with a cup of coffee or a glass of tea, watching God's creatures, the hummingbirds, the birds. You also get a kick out of watching the squirrels. They can have quite a time outside running around and storing all their stuff. And what about raccoons? I don't know if you guys have been watching my wife's Facebook page, but we had a raccoon come up on our house, I guess maybe 6 months ago. It's probably longer than that. But anyway, then we saw a couple this past spring. We saw three other babies peering down off the house. So this mother had three babies, but I think it's torn some of our shingles and decided to try to make a nest because now we have some raindrops inside our house. Plus we have solar, so these things are underneath the solar panels and They're warm. But all the panels are working, so they haven't destroyed the electrical part of it. But anyway, we think the mother has left, but she left one baby. So the baby's crying outside. Now, we have a lower part of our garage, and Nathaniel comes down and is like, "Dad." So he takes a video of this. I mean, it's just right there in the window, looking so cute. It's only about this big, but they're just so cute. So I'm there. The mother came back to get this last one, trying to, but he won't leave. He's scared of jumping off the roof. So I'm there with a broom, trying to help it off. Colleen's like, "What are you doing?" She's like, "Let me bring it in the house." I'm like, "Don't bring it in the house." So anyway, I tried to scoot it, but he jumped in the gutter and ran down the other way. I'm like, "I have to go to bed." So, but in the last 2 days, we have not seen the raccoon. So we think Mom finally, well, we put a tree branch going from the gutter down. So hopefully he found his way off. So hopefully they're gone. We have roofers coming in the next week or two to fix everything. What are you going to do? So anyway, that's why I go outside to look at God's creatures and get my happiness outside. So everyone wants to be happy, right? But in the pursuit of happiness, we may chase after money, collecting things for ourselves, collecting things for our homes, searching for new experiences. But if happiness depends on our circumstances, what happens when the toys rust? What happens when loved ones die or our health starts to fail? What happens when the money is stolen or gone and the party is just over? Oftentimes, when this happens, fleeting and despair sets in. But in contrast to happiness, we have joy. This joy comes from God. It runs deeper and stronger than anything that life can offer us. Joy is quiet, it's confidence, it's the assurance of God's love in our work and our lives, that He will be there no matter what. Jesus Christ is there with us through all of our circumstances, if we let Him in. He's there in when we were growing up, He's there when raising our own kids, He's there in our schoolwork, He's there in our work, He's there in our relationships, our marriages, our finances. He's even there in our sicknesses and diseases. He is there in our disappointments, the death of loved ones. He is there. So anything that we are facing today, He is there. We just have to ask God for the help. This is pretty cool. Happiness depends on happenings, but joy depends on God. And the book of Philippians is the joyful book because it emphasizes the real joy of the Christian life. Thinking about Christmas, I love Christmas. But when you have the true meaning of Christmas in your heart, that Jesus was born in a manger, He was born as our Messiah, He was born as our Savior to this world, for the believer, it gives you much more knowing that God is all about Christmas. So back in December, we talked about joy in serving, to be like Christ. So now we're going to continue in this chapter. It's funny, I was talking to a guy at the earlier service named Frank. He brought up the fact that he remembers the train actually coming down to Long Beach Island when he was a young person. And then he told me he was a train fanatic. So I told him I am too. During Christmas time, my father always had the Lionels underneath the tree. So I've kept that tradition. We continue to have these trains around the tree. We have a large train display down in our basement. With HOs, I have Lionels. Actually, in my office over here, on top of my credenza, I have the G scale, which is the real big scale trains. So again, I love that part of it. Nathaniel seems to be loving the train, so hopefully I'll be able to pass that on down to him. It's funny though, Colleen and I were thinking about if Nathaniel goes off to college, that we maybe would want to downsize. But then thinking, I have over 100 buildings that are on my set downstairs. So I'm like, where would I need to find a house that has a basement, you know? We thought about going to Perry's Lake. There's no basements over in Perry's Lake. And if we convert one of the rooms, nobody else could come over and sleep over. That might kind of be good. But anyway, we're asking God to give us direction to know what to do, what not to do. Nathaniel's going to have to get by a new big house and put the trains in his house. So anyway, we're going to look at verses 19 through 22. I'm going to reread the scripture. But I hope in the Lord Jesus Christ to send Timothy to you shortly, so that I also may be encouraged when I learn of your condition. For I have no one else of kindred spirit who will be generally be concerned for your welfare. For they all seek after their own interests, not only of those of Jesus Christ, but you know of the proven worth that he served with me in the furtherance of the gospel like a child serving his father. Now, Timothy was with Paul in Rome when Paul wrote this letter. He traveled with Paul on his second missionary journey, and they started the church of Philippi. Not certain of his own future, Paul wasn't sure what was going to happen, but he talked about in the scripture, "I hope in the Lord Jesus Christ." This was an unusual way to speak of Timothy's proposed journey. Paul was especially aware that whether his release or death, he was actually under house arrest for preaching Christ, whether death was going to come or whether they were going to release him. But he was intent to let Timothy visit them so that he also might be cheered when he heard back of how the Philippian church was doing. So both Paul's letter and Timothy's visit would certainly encourage the believer at Philippi, but Paul also wanted to be encouraged by Timothy when they returned back of how the church was doing spiritually. So Timothy was close to Paul and a dear friend to his heart. If Paul ever needed Timothy, though, it was while he was there in Rome under house arrest. Yet he was willing to sacrifice Timothy's companionship so others could be helped, being very unselfish, letting someone else go, which is nice. In verse 20, we see that Paul's young son, Timothy, had a deep interest and a concern for the Philippian church. And then in verse 21, this verse appears to make a rather broad claim. Did Paul mean that all others whom he might contact to run his errand would be more interested in their own interest than those of Christ? I think Paul was just thinking that Timothy stood out as a rare gem in the world of self-seekers. As believers today, are we too preoccupied with our own needs to spend time with Christ or to work for him? Don't let your schedules and your concerns crowd your Christian service to serve others or to help others. It takes a lot of people to run a church. I started thinking again, besides the pastors and the leadership team here at the church, it takes a lot to run a church. We need to have worship teams. We need to have soundboard people. We need to have someone to operate the computers for the words to sing. We need to have nursery workers. We need to have Sunday school teachers, men's and ladies' study group leaders. We have a men's breakfast crew. We have a card ministry that sends cards to the body. Greeters at the door to greet you as you guys are coming into the church. People to take up the offering. Thank you for doing that. Even your bagels. Your bagels don't miraculously come to the church cut. Somebody actually has to cut them for us. So we have people that do that. Coffee. We have coffee preparers. And then after all you guys are gone, we have a cleanup crew. Cleans the tables. Takes out the trash. We have a great office staff that helps us during times. But also we have a Tony. We have a Tony Piccolo who makes sure that our building is ready for every use. So again, a big thank you to all those people who do help and serve here at the church. It's great to see that. But also on your individual needs, I'll talk a little later about, there's a girl named Tina. She actually would see somebody who needed a coat during the wintertime, and she would actually run into Walmart, buy the coat for that person, and come out and give it to them instead of just walking by and not doing nothing about it. Now, I know today is very hard. I wish I knew a lot more about mechanics with the vehicle. I see a lot of people that are on the side of the vehicle that stopped, and especially if it's a woman, you wonder, is an engine problem or something with a tire. Now, I know you got to be careful to make sure that you're not going to be ambushed by other people or if it's a setup. But again, if God prompts you to stop, you should go ahead and stop. Offer your phone if they don't have a phone, or call someone that they could, change a tire or do something like that. But don't allow those opportunities to pass you by. If God prompts you to do something, go ahead and do that. Ask the Lord, where do you want me to serve? And even if you guys want to serve here at the church, Pastor Dan or myself, we'd love to talk to you, put you in any area that God has, he's gifted you in areas. And we'd love to put you where God would want you to work here at the church. In verse 22, now that Timothy was a great companion for Paul, he was a skilled workman and trained as an apprentice. Paul was preparing Timothy to carry on the ministry in his absence. And so, who was this Timothy? It's funny, Mrs. Chatterton, I grew up with Ed and Nancy Chatterton in the church for years. And Nancy's mom, Mrs. Copperthwaite, when I was a young lad running around here, she told me, she's like, you're a nice young Timothy. She's like, stay nice and young and keep, because again, I was shy and reserved, and God takes those shy people, puts them in front of a pulpit. I don't know why. But Timothy was an apprentice of Paul. But Paul had learned some lessons. Painful lessons are usually doorways to new opportunities. Even the Apostle Paul had to learn some. Shortly after his disappointing experience with John Mark, remember John Mark and him were together, something happened, John Mark left. Paul recruited this young man named Timothy to be his assistant. Paul's intense personality may have been too much for John Mark to handle. It could be easily be created from the same problem to Timothy. But Paul seemed to have learned a lesson in patience from his old friend Barabbas. As a result, Timothy became a son to Paul. Timothy probably became a Christian after Paul's first missionary journey to Listeria. I know some of these things, Pastor Dan talked about some of these things in Acts. So some of the stuff that we read, you'll get a comparison for those who have been here for that. Timothy already had a solid Jewish training in the scriptures from his mother, Eunice, and also his grandmother, Lois. Timothy had grown into a respected disciple of Jesus. Timothy did struggle. He had a very timid and reserved nature. He allowed others to look down on his youthfulness. But in our inadequacies, in our inabilities, this should not keep us from being used by God. Amen? God just wants a willing heart to say, God, use me. Please use me as you see fit. And God will take you on that journey. It's been a fun journey. I mean, again, accepting the Lord here at age 11, right here on the front of this platform. I grew up here in the church. And then being baptized down the bay. And then it's been a great ride ever since. It's been fun. You know, I'm not saying that being Christian is not going to give you a perfect, perfect life. But during the ups and downs, during trials and the highs, God's just there with us, guiding us and blessing us along. So it's really, it's great to be on the Lord's side. Looking at verses 23 through 28. Therefore, I hope to send Timothy immediately, as soon as I see how things go with me. And I trust in the Lord that I myself will also be coming shortly. But I thought it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother, and fellow worker and soldier, who is also your messenger and minister to my need, because he was longing for all of you, and he was distressed because you had heard that he was sick. For indeed he was sick even to the point of death. But God had mercy on him, and not only him, but also on me, so that I would not have sorrow upon sorrow. Therefore I have sent him all the more eagerly, so that when you see him again, you may rejoice, and I may be less concerned about you. So Paul was in prison or under house arrest. He was waiting for his trial or the verdict to come down to see what was going to happen to him for preaching about Christ. He was telling the Philippians that he learned of the court's, when he learned of the court's decision, that he would let Timothy come to them and let them know the news, and he would accept whatever came. Though the scriptures really don't tell us about Paul's release, it must have happened because he was imprisoned again later in Rome, and that's when he wrote his last book, 2 Timothy. Though there's no record of Paul's revisiting Philippi, but he may have returned there after the release. Now, can you imagine being in prison today? That's pretty scary. But I guess he wanted Paul to take a break, to slow down and write some things down. Thank God he did, because we have Paul's epistles here. But Paul witnessed to those people around him about Jesus Christ. So where does God have you now to show his great love to this world? So it is amazing, no matter where God brings you, if something does happen, you go to, you know, prison, you can witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. A lot of times people go there and then they'll get into Bible studies to really realize what God has done for them. People come to know the Lord there. It's fantastic to do that. So again, I really think that God all has his plans worked out. No matter what we come to, no matter what we face, God's there. And if you don't understand why, just, okay, God, help me to get through this. Talk to your good Christian friends to help you pray and get through the situation and work things out. So where does Christ have you now? Epaphroditus delivered money from the Philippian church to Paul when he returned with a thanksgiving letter to Philippi. Epaphroditus may have been an elder at the church of Philippi, who while staying with Paul became ill. After Epaphroditus recovered, he returned home, and he's mentioned only here in the books of Acts and Philippians. Paul then thanked the Lord for healing him, as it spared Paul from sorrow upon sorrow. In verses 29 and 30, we see that the verses say, "Receive him then in the Lord with all joy, and hold men like him in high regard, because he came close to death for the work of Christ, risking his life to complete what was deficient in your service to me." You know, the world honors those that are intelligent, beautiful, rich, and powerful. We see these shows on the award shows of Hollywood, how they like to get their little statues for memorizing scripts and being in a movie. But what kind of people should the church honor? Paul indicates that we should honor those who give their lives for the sake of the Christ and the gospel. Where we can go, where we cannot go, are missionaries. The missionaries do that today by providing ministry where we are not able to go. I was even thinking again, when you look at the different people who started taking the Greek and the Hebrew and translating that into the English language, how people were being crucified for that. Some people were beheaded and killed for that. So we have to be grateful for the people who decided to continue to change these scriptures and put in our English language for all the different worlds to see that. I was reminded about a missionary called Jim Elliot. Familiar with Jim Elliot? Jim Elliot was among a group of U.S. missionaries who felt called to share the Christ to the people of Wadonai tribe in Ecuador in the 1950s. At the time, this tribe was the most violent tribe known to people on the earth. They regularly practiced homicide and fiercely defended their territory against wishing to exploit the riches of the Amazon land. From what I read, the Shell Oil Company wanted to go in there and extract some of the oil. So after Jim Elliot heard this, he said that I would try to make peace with them. So Elliot and former missionaries initiated a contact with the tribe after being taught some of their language. First, they dropped gifts down from a plane. Later, they established a camp not far from this Wadoni settlement. But in January 1956, the five men were killed by the members of this tribe as they approached them in person for the first time in hopes of sharing the gospel with them. The story generated worldwide news coverage. But Elliot's wife, Elizabeth, since has written the best-selling book called Through the Gates of Splendor about her husband's journey. Jim's journal was famously featured and quoted all around the world. He also had a famous quote, "He is no fool who gives up what he cannot gain to which he cannot lose." It's been read by thousands around the world. Amazingly, Jim's wife, Elizabeth, and another sister of a guy who passed away, they felt a burden to go back. So 2 years later, after their murder, the girls went back over there, and they were invited into their camp to live with them, and many of them came to faith. Amazing story. Another story, In the Presence of My Enemies, a remarkable story of the Burnham, tells a story of their captivities in Abu Saraf, a Muslim extremist group in the Philippines. Just over a year, her and her husband, Martin, were missionaries, and they actually were missionary pilots. They somehow were captive by this group of people, and they were just tormented. They were held in chains. But in a botched rescue attempt, the Filipino army was there, and they shot Martin by accident. Also, they shot a nurse who was there, who was missionarying with them, and other remaining hostages. Garcia Beckman, who was the wife, was shot, but she was rescued and she was treated for a leg wound. But in the meantime, she put a book together, and but she talks about the haunting reflections of the deep faith that she had, but again, the terror of the life that they had there. They did unspeakable things to them. They had beheadings of hostages, taking them as unwilling wives. But she chronicles the highs and lows of her faith and how God got her through that. And like I said, that was called the In the Presence of My Enemies. We need to be praying for our missionaries. That's why I think we pray for the Ellis family and Brad and Ellie each and every Sunday, that God's protection be around them. Pray for those that you guys support at home. Pray for the worldwide missionaries that are around the world, the persecuted church. They need to have our love and support and prayers around them. So remember, when the weight of the world is crashing down around us, we need to get to the great joy that the Lord Jesus Christ gives us each and every day. But again, that's spending time in His Word. That's praying with Him. Even this particular past weekend, we had a very busy weekend. I don't know if you remember, we talked about a couple that we knew, Tina and Rob. They actually were the couple that stayed in our basement. They were redoing their house up in Beechwood, and they needed a place to stay for 6 months. So 6 months turned into 3 years? 3 years. In downstairs in an unfinished basement. But we had a good time. It was good. But Tina's mom was becoming ill. So Rob called me up and said, "Pastor Craig, if and when Tina's mom passes away, would you do the funeral?" And I said I would. So, of course, this coming weekend, we had graduation parties. My two nephews were graduating high school. One was graduating college. So Saturday between 1 and 4, we had a graduation party at Colleen's sister's house up in Tom's River. So then, of course, Tina's mom passes away, so they gave me a call, said, "Craig, the funeral is that Saturday between 1 and 4. Plus, I'm preparing a message for today since Pastor Dan's away." So I'm like, "Okay, Lord, you're going to work all this stuff out." And I thought I had messages on my computer, but they weren't. They were here at the office. So I'm like, "Okay, Lord, you want me to start from scratch? That's okay. We'll do that too." So again, we went to the graduation party. I asked Tina if I can come between that 2 to 3 and give the, pastoral stuff over at the funeral parlor. So we did. So it was good. So God worked that out. We went over there, shared Christ, shared in what God did for them. We're still praying for them. I'm not sure if they really know Jesus Christ. We shared with them a lot of times. But Tina and Rob, they actually lost a baby at a very young age, right when it was born. Did survive. And I think Rob just, I don't understand why God would do that. And you try to share that, God has His ways. whether the baby was going to be sick or maybe the baby was going to have, you know, something that's going to be in life that wasn't good. But it's better off that they're up in heaven than being down here. I said, we don't know, you know, God's ways. They still visit the baby, you know, every time it's their birthday. But I think it's 17, 18, 19 years, if not more. 30 years? Okay, 30 years. So we're continuing to be a light to Rob and Tina, and they have two kids. There was Adam and Danielle, and so it was nice to get to know them. So we're continuing to show the love of Christ with them. God is just good. There's another point that I wanted to make, but again, just allow God to come into your hearts and to be used for Him. I'm very grateful for myself growing up in a Christian family. Like I said, I grew up here at the church. It's been a great ride having the Lord Jesus Christ on my side. We left for a while, and then God brought us back here. It's a privilege of serving this church and being part of this body. This is a wonderful body. I love hearing when the people come here for the first time, how warm welcome they feel. It's good to hear that. So thank you guys for extending the love and showing a hand and showing that, you know, Christ's body is all about love. And we can find that joy that we have in Christ. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father God, again, we thank you for your many, many blessings. Father, we thank you that you desire to be with us. Father, if there's someone here who doesn't know you as Lord and Savior, Father, just realize to them that Jesus died on their behalf on a cross, that Jesus took their sins, and that the blood that Jesus has shed can cover those sins when you just ask, Father God, forgive me, I'm a sinner, and please come into my heart and make yourself Lord of my life. So, Father, we just ask you again that you would just bless that person if someone just prayed that. Father, we ask you that you just allow the rest of us to continue to show the love of Christ to one another in this world. So we thank you for this time, Lord Jesus. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, amen. Amen.